At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Adam D. from In Defense of Ska here. A little note before we start the show. Los Angeles is dealing with multiple catastrophic fires. A lot of people have lost their homes and are in need. If you're able to help, please do so. There are a lot of great organizations you can donate to, like California Fire Foundation, Pasadena Humane Society, Mutual Aid LA, and there's even a list of people in the music industry that have lost their homes. Links are in the show notes for our Rob Harvilla episode. Thanks.
Consequence Podcast Network.
This is In Defense of Ska. Our mission is to document the ska scene from its traditional roots through its emergence as a diverse global genre. The influence of ska resonates through your favorite bands and artists in ways you might have missed. I'm your co-host, Aaron Carnes, renowned author of the book In Defense of Ska, which is currently available in its expanded second edition. Joining me is your host, Adam D. of Omnigon and Asian Man Records band, Link 80.
So our musical tastes, Aaron, like they kind of converge at the point of ska, but then I kind of listen to stuff that's a little bit like heavier, more hardcore type stuff. And you kind of like stuff that's a little bit more indie rock, right?
Yeah, you know, I like the stuff that's gonna that'll make you cry.
Yeah.
Not make you scream and rage like you.
Yeah. But both of us have noticed in the last couple of years, like since the pandemic, hardcore has had kind of a rebirth with bands like Scowl and Turnstile and Soul Glow and Zulu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the common thread there, we kind of discussed this before, it seems to be that a lot of these bands are bringing their own musical influences to the genre.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it's definitely gotten me more interested in the genre of hardcore than I had been in a while.
Yeah. And just, you know, listener, if you haven't checked it out yet, we have episodes with Bailey from Scowl. Mm-hmm. We also have an episode with Gigi from Soul Glow. So definitely dip back into our catalog and check those out.
But we have a guest today of another one of these new hardcore bands.
Yeah, we have Braxton from Zulu. Zulu's an all-black hardcore band. And their most recent album, I feel like the hardcore tracks hit a lot harder because there's songs in between that are not hardcore. And I really feel like a big part of a band's diverse musical influences in the case of Zulu comes from, you know, coming from black households where different music was being played when they grew up.
Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to know what Braxton has to say about ska. Maybe we should go ask him.
All right, Braxton. So I'm cutting right to the chase here. I heard you were in a ska band for a second.
Yeah. I mean, this was like, wow. Freshman year.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really have like a name, but which is crazy, but we covered the Power Rangers theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the craziest thing. Like I couldn't for the life of me, like find the guys that are in the band. This was like, I live in Lake Elsinore. It's like somewhere in the IU, like SoCal. And so hard, like reconnect with so many of these people from like freshman year was, but yeah, like. It was nuts. And like not many people, because like growing up in the IE where I'm at, like ska was such like a big part of it. I feel like everybody has ska bands, you know? And then now I'm saying, oh, I have ska band. People are like, what? You know, like, it's not like outside of my area, it's not common. People like hate ska so much. I'm like, dude, when I was growing up, everybody had a ska band. We were always going to ska shows and punk shows. Like, ska and punk were always, every weekend we'd be at like a ska show or a punk band as a punk show. They'd be like a trillion punk bands on one lineup and then like two ska bands. It would be normal, you know?
Yeah. So this band, No Name.
Yeah, it was like, we didn't even play a show. Like, it was some dudes I knew. Because my thing, like, not many people could play, like do, like, the shredding thing. I was always, like, an Eddie Van Halen guy, still am. I got the freaking, I don't know if y'all can see it, but.
Got the Van Halen necklace, yep.
Yeah, I have the tattoo. I was always a Van Halen guy, so I always could, like, do all the little crazy, you know, solos and stuff. So, I was always, like, somewhat of like a commodity, like, a hot commodity to be in bands. And I would just be in random bands for the hell of it. Because, like, there weren't really many people that could, like, play like that. So, you know, you want to do it? I was in a black metal band. I don't even like black metal. I think that stuff sucks. But I was in a black metal band. I was in all types of bands. But, yeah, I was in this ska band. And I just knew the dude, the other guitarist. And we, like, jammed, like, once or twice. And I remember I had to learn this Power Rangers thing by ear because I couldn't read music. I still can't read music. So I'm like, oh, we're going to have a show at this big, you know, whatever. And it all fell through. We never played a show. Some of the dudes graduated because they were much older than me and kept in touch with none of them. Like, I really can't. We practiced twice, I think. Not even, no show at all. So kind of sucks.
Did you have any songs besides the Power Ranger song?
Well, we wrote, so it was like kind of like a, I don't even know, it was like a Halloween thing we were going to do. And there was a song that a hell of dudes wrote songs that we were going to do. There was one song that we were going to write together. But the main thing was like, yo, we're going to do this one song for this little Halloween party thing. And we're going to do the Power Rangers theme thing. So that was like the main thing on the menu, you know. Once that fell through, it was like no one even bothered to kick it no more. No one even bothered to like write actual songs. It was just done. I was like, damn, dude, this sucks. But I was really looking forward to it. But at the time, I had like a street punk band that we were doing stuff, and I was about to join like a thrash band. And then I was about to do an indie band. So I was already in like a trillion bands. So I was like, yo, like, I'm not going to lose sleep if this ska band breaks up, you know? Like, it's not going to ruin my life or anything. But I would have preferred to do stuff, you know? Because I never really played a show in a ska band, which kind of sucks. But I mean, there's always this year, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're picking up now.
Yeah, bro.
What was the lineup of this band? Like, what was the instrumentation? Do you remember?
Like three brass guys, two guitarists, yeah, drummer, bassist type vibe. There's two singers, I think, but one singer was one practice and the next singer was a different practice. I mean, the singer. So in theory, there were two singers at the same time, supposed to be for the show, but yeah, like straight up, like we never practiced all together once. it was a mess. It was definitely a mess. I was like, the sophomore year, I was probably like 14 or 15.
14, 15, yeah.
Yeah, about, yeah.
Do you remember, were those horn players any good, or were they just like stereotypical like high school horn players?
One of them was in band, so he was kind of off-putting because that's just how loud the band guys were, you know? I mean, just naturally. I mean, that was the homie, though. I remember him being really chill. I'm off-putting also, so we kind of clicked. But he was, like, technically proficient. He was goated. Other dudes, it was, like, he kind of held it down.
Okay.
He held it down. But, yeah, he had, like, you know, like, the fedora and, like, the little checkers. Like, he was, like, really about it, you know, really about it.
He was really, really ska.
Yeah, and then the other guys had fedoras, but that was just their thing, you know? Like, the other, I was this side of the spectrum of, like, of fedora wearers, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was sick. I really wish we could do stuff. I really wish I could, like, be in contact with these guys. But, yeah, this was... a bit over 10 years ago now. So I'm like, dude, this is a nightmare. I can't even remember really. But that was the one band that I didn't really keep in contact with the guys. Like the punk band I was in two punk bands. I still talk to them. The thrash band, like, we're still close to this day. The indie band, we're still close to this day. Well, most members of the band were still close, but the little black metal band, we don't talk at all. I was in a grunge band. I kind of keep in touch with like the bassist, but yeah, the ska band, none of them. Like, it sucks. So I hope they see this. That'd be sick.
Yeah, we hope they're listening. Get in contact.
This is a calling card.
Yeah, call in now. Okay, so your ska band, no band name. What were these other bands' names? We need the names. Because I love high school band names.
So I was in like a grungy type band called Straight Jacket Union.
Oh, that's a good one.
I joined it a little later on. I was in a thrash band called Altar of Apophis. And it was like death thrash, but kind of like, it was like party thrash, like crossover Municipal Waste type stuff. But then we had like one, like we had like some Blackened type stuff. So it was just like umbrella term, like thrash. We covered Iron Maiden once, like that, the song Iron Maiden. And then we covered Hammer Smash Face for some reason. It was just all over the place. Like, it was sick. And then I had an indie band called Axis Vertigo, which was like, it wasn't really indie. It was like, we wanted to be Oasis really bad. We wanted to be Oasis mixed with, it used to be called Red Velvet Addiction, which was like Chili Peppers mixed with Velvet Revolver mixed with Jay's Addiction. And those are all of our like influences. So we just called it Red Velvet Addiction. It was cool. But then it kind of broke up. Then we did Axis Vertigo, which was like indie type, like, it was Oasis, but we were like indie. I don't even know. And then that band broke up. That was a band called The Divine, which I played keys and bass. And then that band split into two bands. Axis Vertigo split into The Divine and The Third Invasion. The Third Invasion, it's like a stupid ass name contest. I don't know why these bands were called these names. None of them, I don't know. But we were in Axis Vertigo. Yeah, Third Invasion was like Cage the Elephant, Arctic Monkeys, Tumblr type stuff. And then The Divine was like real, like Brit poppy, like Inspiral Carpets. Yeah, like definitely Oasis type stuff, like Blur. I was in a street punk band called The Broke. It was a trio. It was like Clip 45 type, just like stuff like that. And I was in, it was like Cheap Sex. It was like our like main like influence. And then I was in another street punk band called Commie Death Squad, which broke up. Shout out Jason Brooks. Jason Brooks took me to my first punk show. He was in Commie Death Squad. That band broke up and it turned into Overdose America, which I was in for a little bit. Got kicked out. I was so hurt. No hard feelings.
Wait, why'd you get kicked out?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, no hard feelings. I rock with Jason. I just saw him. He lives in Colorado. They have a band called American Overdose now. So I mean, I reconnected with Jason and we were talking about our old band, and then the members of his new band were there, and they're like, yo, we're called American Overdose. I was like, bro, I was in a band called Overdose America like 10 years ago. So we all started laughing about that. But I don't know why I got kicked out. I don't know. I was in a band called, wow. Yeah, this is all high school. This is all the high school era bands.
Was there any of the bands that you were in that you felt like, that's my band? Or that's the one you felt most like connected to? Or was it all just as much as music as I can play?
Altar of Apophis was cool, or thrash band, because I don't know. I just love. I'm like I'm really more into metal than anything, and it was like I just love crossover. And we were like, I mean, when I think of crossover, there's like different offshoots, but we were like for sure like Municipal Waste, like worshiping type, like super fast. No groovy parts, just fast. You know, I just love thrash. I love to be able to do that. I also love to be able to coexist and have this like street punk band, you know, like, you know, everyone's fashion punked out, and you know, and I'm wearing the same outfits from both, you know. And then that little indie rock band I was in, we all know like that cursed pay to play system, you know.
Yeah.
It was running rampant through California, and I hope it's not still doing that to this day. But we, Axis Vertigo, we were like doing a lot. Like, we opened up for Steven Piercy from Rat. We opened up for his band, which was so, we were an indie band playing with Steven Piercy, and he was doing all these Rat songs, and it was at the Whiskey a Go Go, and we were like 16. We were like, you know, you got to earn your stripes in this pay to play system. And once you can prove that you can sell 50 tickets, you know, you put on everything regardless, you know. So for people who don't know, you pay the venue, go figure. They don't pay you at all. You pay the venue, yeah. And you don't get nothing, anything in return besides maybe some cool profile pictures if you're a Facebook guy, or you get like some meal vouchers, you know, whatever. We were 16 getting drink tickets. Like, we can't even drink, so we were just getting water. But it was so awful. But yeah, that band, we thought we were really going to do it, because we were in that pay-to-play system. Like, every week we played like House of Blues Anaheim. We played the Glass House in Pomona. We played House of Blues San Diego. We asked to say we played the Whiskey. I was like, I thought we were going to do it. And then we were kids, and that's the time to do it when you got nothing but free time, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, your parents' money, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it didn't work out. Most of us still keep in touch, but that was the one I was like, yo, this is going to be it, you know? And we got some weird, like, and then, yeah, we got some weird deal where we had to meet up with this guy for like some syncs, for like some radio stuff, or like, you know, and it was a scam, and it just, yeah, it fell through bad. And then, yeah, that band broke up into two bands, which was The Divine, which was, yeah, like I said, like Britpoppy stuff, and that died so quick. We didn't even play a show. But Third Invasion, from high school onward, like, that was the one we were always doing cool stuff, but that fell out too. I don't know. I was always in like bands here and there that just weren't really doing much, so I kind of just gave up. I was like, oh, this is fun, you know, it was whatever, you know. But yeah, there's another band I'm forgetting too. There's two other bands I'm forgetting. I want to say three, to be honest. I was in hella bands. But if it clicks, I like say later on, you know, talk about the other three bands.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that was high school. That was like those 4 years I was in those bands.
So also in high school, you were aware of ska because of its proliferation in that geographical location. Had you gone to any ska shows?
Oh, it was, so there was a band called Skamikaze. Goated name, like an unreal, like,
yeah, great name.
That's in the annals of the greatest ska band names ever, I think, you know, like, it's crazy. But they're called Skamikaze, and they're like the premier Lake Elsinore Lake Elsinore ska band. And I always knew of ska just from America's Funniest Home Videos, you know. Like, and that was it. Like, I knew that, and then whatever, like early No Doubt or some Sublime, you know, like California, you know, California stuff, you know, like straight up, like ska is like, well, third wave ska.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
It's very, very much ingrained in, you know, California, SoCal. So I would go to punk shows. We were always at punk shows. It'd be like, we would all be like 13, 14, 15, just someone's basement or, you know, a garage. And Skamikaze played. I was like, yo, this is so cool. Like, I could not believe it. This band's awesome. And I don't know. I was like, from then I was like, yo, this is cool. I was probably like 14. And I was like, yo, this is sick. And my like punk homie was like, nah, this is lame. Da 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 da. But I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And the IE to this day, like Rialto, Fontana, Hemet, like there's always like some of the, like this band Odd Advantage, they're from like the IE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know them.
Yeah, they're like, there's always like sick, like ska is so ingrained. Ska and ska, mince core, like grindy power violence, like crossover type stuff. Not crossover, but like the crossover of, you know, mince and PV and grind. And then, yeah, like thrash, all that stuff. Like the show, it'd be like a band of like 10, it'd be a show with 10 bands before ska bands, and then like whatever, like a death grind band, and then like a thrash band. And that was just a show. And we would all go and kick it. You know, it was the best times of my life for sure. We're going to like the ska shows in high school. It was crazy. Like, loved it. Straight up.
In Defense of Ska will return in a moment.
Your introduction to music in general, you sound like there was a lot of music being played in your house growing up. What were you coming up listening to?
My dad was... like, the dichotomy of how my parents were is so crazy. My mom, like, R&B, soul, and then, like, gospel. Like, real church lady, like, doesn't curse, no smoking, no drinking, just straight up, like, very, like, you know, secular music was very rare if it wasn't, like, soul or, like, R&B or stuff like that. No rap, like, she hated that. And my dad, like Far Out Man, you know, just like, oh my God, like Santana and, you know, Sly and the Family Stone and Hendrix and Jefferson Airplane and Three Dog Night and all that, like straight up, just like psych rock stuff, like of that era. Big ensemble, yeah, like Santana, like big ensemble, like Kungas and like 37 guys on stage and you don't know what's happening. You know, everyone's doing something, you know, everyone's high. Like, yeah, that was his vibe. And a lot of fusion jazz, like Pat Metheny today, to this day, is one of my favorite artists. Like Pat Metheny, Miles Davis, like Spiral Gyra, Yellow Jackets, Weather Report. Like, I love that stuff so much. And no, like, proper metal or rock, really. Like, my dad hated like the big hair stuff, and that is my, like, one of my favorite genres ever is like glam. Like, I can't even put in the words, like, oh my God, like glam. I just love glam, like glam metal, not really glam rock. Like Hanoi Rocks and like New York Dolls, like that stuff is cool, but like the 80s, you know, like the Sunset Strip era, like 80s metal, like that stuff is, oh my God, I love it. But
what was the draw of that for you?
I really, really, truly don't know. I've never been asked that ever. And I don't know. I really don't know why I had this affinity for just like, I mean, now I have big hair, but I took my braids out the other day. Like, this is a normal look of mine, but
yeah.
I love like big hair and like, cause like to this day, all I really wear is like, the bootcut jeans, like super tight jeans, like a big belt buckle, like the cowboy boots, the leather, the bandanas, like that's like always been my thing. And seeing Axl Rose and like some of the guys from like Cinderella or, you know, like that Stephen Piercy, like that type of stuff, I was like, yo, this is so cool. I just thought it was so sick. But like that was it. Like that was the coolest thing on earth to me. And then later on, it definitely got so commercialized, and it was like,
yeah,
labels were going to Sunset Strip and finding whoever they could find. Oh, I like your look, you play an instrument, okay, let's do this industry plant band and get into the charts. And it was cool, got oversaturated, and we all know grunge, you know, killed it. What's but very big fan of that stuff. And my dad and I were like, yo, this is like, I remember we clicked on Yngwie Malmsteen because my dad was a guitar player, and Yngwie was just, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of any guitar player in the 80s, besides Eddie Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen's too goated. Nobody could touch him.
Did you have an aha moment with the music where you discovered it? Like, do you remember when you first discovered glam metal?
VH1 Classic.
Yeah?
Yeah, VH1 Classic. It was like Metal Mania or like Rock Block or something like that. And I was like, I didn't have a computer. So I was like, yo, what is this? This is crazy. And it was like, I don't remember what it was. It might have been like, oh, it was Too Young to Fall in Love. Like that era of Motley Crue, they all looked so like they looked evil. And looking back, it wasn't, but you know, like Kronos from Venom, like that type of look, you know? Like just the it was crazy. And then I remember I saw Wasp. I want to be somebody. I thought that was Motley Crue because I just couldn't really distinguish. I was super young, so I thought that was awesome. But I saw a documentary about 80s guys, and they mentioned Van Halen, and they played Eruption, and I was like, yo, this is unbelievable. And anytime I was at a mall, like an FYE or any type of thing, I was like, yo, I need to get Van Halen stuff because I didn't have a computer. I just wanted to get like I didn't know their albums. I didn't know the singer, you know, distinguishing between Daily Wild and Sammy. I didn't know none of that. I was like, I saw like magazines. I got any magazine with a Van Halen article in it, anything, any CD, any media with Van Halen on it. Then I got a computer, and then it was a wrap. I was just Van Halen's mom's name, Van Halen's house. You know, I was just like, whatever, you know, I was obsessed. But definitely VH1 Classic, for sure, yeah.
In high school, did your room have the like magazine cutouts on the walls?
Straight up.
Wallpapered like that?
Yeah, like black light stuff. I was very like rocker kid vibes. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, love that. That was totally my friends.
See.
So in this time period, were you aware at all of ska or reggae or rocksteady, any of this?
Not consciously, you know. Like I said, America's playing some videos. I knew that. Everyone knew Sublime. Like, it's Southern California. Like, you know Sublime, you know. No Doubt, too. You know that. Like,
yep.
But, like, No Doubt, you know, it was like, don't speak, you know. Like, it wasn't, like, proper like ska punk at that time, you know, when they were like huge. But
yeah,
it was I knew of it. This is like middle school when I was like getting like in that glam punk death. It was like middle school, high school when I had a computer and like MySpace or whatever. I was like, then I was able to branch out and just those YouTube rabbit holes, which is an algorithm so different from like the Spotify algorithm that some people just really nowadays you can't really get that good algorithm on Spotify. Like maybe you can like do the artist suggested or whatever, or like the smart shuffle where it sends you random people, but YouTube, you just get lost. And it was insane. It was so insane. I was getting lost. And some of the bands I found, like freaking, I don't know, like Choking Victim. I remember because I love like extreme noise terror and like grindcore stuff. So I was like, I saw No Gods, No Managers, and I'm like, yo, this is gonna be like the fastest, craziest, like crusty power violence stuff ever. And I listened to it. I was like, wait, I thought like my computer messed up. I was like, bro, what? I was like, what is? I really thought it was like a prank video, like a Rick Roll or something. And I was like, there's no way this like ska core band is like has this crazy ass like satanic ass imagery. I was so blown away by that, and like it looked so cool. And I knew all the kids had like Chuck and Rick them, like the, you know, Leftover Crack stuff. And it looked so crazy to me, and like, I was like, wow, this is ska? I was like, this is nuts. And like, that was like another aspect. I was like, yo. So I dug so deep in like ska rabbit holes and like that like crack rock steady type, you know, like what was it, Squatter's Paradise? I like all that stuff. Like, I was obsessed. I thought it was so sick. Yeah, it was the imagery, you know.
Yeah. So I feel like one of the big like rabbit holes for folks your age is was Tumblr. Was that a big way of finding music? Because Aaron and I come from a completely different generation where we did not really have Tumblr. Tell us about the Tumblr rabbit hole.
Oh, so I was that guy on Tumblr. I was like,
what was your username on Tumblr?
Braxton the Fish.
All right,
and it's still up, so y'all could peep it. It's like a museum of that. What's the thing they put in the ground? You take them years later.
It's a time capsule.
Time capsule. Thank you. It's a time capsule of that era for sure. It's still up. I haven't touched it in years, but you know, obviously being like a black rocker, I was really very attracted to like the aesthetics of like Prince and, you know, Hendrix and like Tony McAlpine and like Thin Lizzy and, you know, Living Color and Bad Brains. And I remember I was really into like Living Color because I like glam too. They were like more so obviously like punk metal stuff, but they were always roped in like the glam stuff.
They had like a glam aesthetic though.
Yeah, straight up.
Like their music wasn't glam, but they wore bright colors. They had some fringe. Yeah.
And then I found Fishbone and I was like, the Fishbone EP, the one with the Ground Zero.
Party at Ground Zero.
Yeah. I was like, yo, this is nuts. Like, and I was so stoked on it. You know, I was so stoked on it. And I had Fishbone stuff, Living Color, but I had all types of stuff, but I really found Fishbone through like Tumblr and then through like YouTube. I was like going through all this stuff. But and then a full circle moment for me, like they reached out to us a minute ago and just showed love when they didn't have to. And it was like, yo, so you know, like y'all are Fishbone, like showing love to like our band was so sick. I was like,
what'd they do? They just shouted you guys out, or what did they do?
Followed us, because like, yo, y'all are killing it. We're emailing about trying to work together. It just like scheduling didn't really work, but we'd love to do it. But yeah, shout out Angelo Moore for sure. But yeah, I found Fishbone really was really sick to me for sure. And you remember 24/7 Spies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That too. I found it on Tumblr and went through YouTube and I got some of the CDs. But I got what was it, Reality something by Fishbone.
Reality in My Surroundings, yeah.
Yeah, Reality in My Surroundings. I got that. I bought that one and then I bought the Fishbone EP just from seeing it online. I listened through it through YouTube, I went and got it. But yeah, it's crazy how Tumblr really opened the doors. It's crazy now everyone's like, oh, these TikTok kids. It's like, you know, people find music how they find it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're genuinely involved in it, and that's, you know, you're not just here just to exploit the scene and take, you know, little cool videos and just leave it there. Like, if you're actually involved in music, like, if you find it through TikTok, that's how it is, you know? Not everybody... Tumblr is really not even cracking like that, you know, now. So it's got to be a new medium somehow. You have to keep evolving, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I've noticed that I kind of wanted to highlight was just that for Aaron and I, you know, we're in our late 40s and seeing younger people finding music that we grew up with and adding that to their collection of what their influences are or what they're into, like... kind of making that connection that it was coming through things like Tumblr and YouTube and MySpace. That's kind of huge for us figuring that out. It's almost like crate digging, but digitally.
Yeah, straight up. That's crazy. Like you mentioned that, because now, you know, I see my homies and my little homies are getting older. I'm like, oh, okay, now we're like transitioning to the next stage of our lives. And I'm very up to date with what's going on with like the younger, you know, crowd. And I don't really rock with TikTok. I like Instagram Reels, like that. That's my thing, you know. But I see like top 10 bands of California or whatever, and it's like just a little TikTok pump, and it'd be like us, Scowl, like Drain, like Tsunami, Spy, all these bands, and people are finding it through TikTok, and it's like it's much more curated than Tumblr was, or than like, I, you know, like Crate Digging or the B9 or Facebook or MySpace. Like, it's everyone's attention spans are very, or they're lessening as the years go by, you know. So here's 10 seconds of everyone moshing, and you know, here's Drain with surfboards, and here's, you know, Zulu running around and doing whatever, and here's Cap from Scowl, and it's like 10 seconds of, oh, okay, well, and the kids are, okay, well, let me screenshot this, send to the group chat, yo, have you heard of this band? And that's how, like, it's crazy how everything progresses. And people are like, yo, I saw you on TikTok. I was like, oh, okay, I don't have a TikTok, so that's crazy, you know, you saw me on TikTok. It's crazy how, like, that's, like, the next, and I guess, allegedly, TikTok is gonna get banned, so I don't know what the next thing is gonna be, but I don't know.
Gonna go back to Tumblr.
Yeah, I hope, man. Tumblr was so lit. Tumblr was sick. I loved it. So much fun.
But what was it about Tumblr that was so compelling?
It seemed like it was, you could customize it, and a lot of kids really learn HTML coding through Tumblr straight up. Like, it's crazy. And Facebook, very rigid. You know, MySpace, you could customize it, but it was on its way out for sure. So
yeah,
Tumblr was like, it was like a low key thing. I remember you couldn't really mention Tumblr. You mentioned it, and people, I remember a few times mentioning it, and people be like, "Yo, like, this is like gatekeep Tumblr." That's crazy. The gatekeeping Tumblr now, but at the time, it wasn't for normies. It was just like a little, you know. And I remember, like, yeah, seeing like Turnstile and like Code Orange Kids, like all of these bands, like on Tumblr. Like, it was very like, oh yeah, this is like the cool new thing. And it was, you could change your blog however you wanted to. You can make it all. My mind was dark, but it had like stars. I don't know. It was crazy. I love purple and green together. So it was like, I had all these, like, it was nuts. I remember my ex did it for me. She did the HTML for me. So my Tumblr was solid. It was so lit. I don't know how it looks now, because I don't have a computer now. I just have my phone, so I don't know. But yeah.
I'll have to go check it out later and see how it's doing.
Yeah, tap in. Tap in. Follow me on Tumblr, y'all. Bassin' the Fish. I'm trying to get back on it.
So many Tumblr followers from this episode.
Yeah. All the notes. I want notes. I want notes of followers on Tumblr.
All right, you already mentioned the Van Halen tattoo. What, do you have any other band tattoos?
So, I don't know if you can see it.
Is that a Fishbone tattoo?
No, I love Fishbone, but it's not. It's Bradley from Sublime had like the Batfish tat.
Oh, okay.
And me, my homie Don, and my homie Alex were like brothers. And one day we were like, yo, let's just get like the best, because we love Sublime, like, we're all SoCal kids, we all love Sublime, and they're like, yo, let's just get Batfish tats. And I was like, you know, like, my go-to karaoke song is everyone loves Santeria. That's like, you know, very SoCal coded. So it's like less of a Sublime tat than it is like matching tats with like friends, you know.
Yeah,
but it's a derivative of, you know, Bradley's Batfish tat. And, you know, Batfish comes on, you know, I don't smoke, but we all know, get me off this reef, like, we all know, you know, it's like smoker chilling vibe in a,
so when Batfish is your karaoke song?
No, that's Santeria.
Oh, Santeria. So do you kill it when you do it?
Oh, I try. I definitely try. I try my hardest. Yeah, But I love Sublime, but this isn't like, the Van Halen tat, like, this is my favorite band, you know.
Yeah,
Sublime. Yeah. Like I said, just because like these are my like some of my closest homies, and like, yo, I was like, yo, let's just get the little matching tats, you know. But definitely for Batfish. Yeah.
What's your favorite Van Halen song?
Push Comes to Shove or I'm the One.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Or Little Dreamer too.
Nice.
All top. There's no order. They're all like number one. Yeah.
And that's it as far as band tattoos?
I have like my own band like my, I have a band called Wise. Like, we're broken up, but we're not. I don't know. I have like,
wait, what's going on there?
It's like, it's, I have a long sleeve. It's right here.
No. What's going on with your band Wise?
Oh, like, we just took a hiatus because they have a band called L&D that is like doing hella stuff.
Okay.
And they have a band. So like, there's Wise, and then there's like this band called Spirit Dive, which is members of Wise. There's a band called Encase that I'm in, that's members of Wise. There's Staple that the homies are in, and then there's L&D, the homies. We're all like the Wise. My homie Bree, they're from this band called Buggin. They call it the Wise Cinematic Universe because it's like, we're all like, all of us are in different bands and we all kick it still, but Wise is just there in the umbrella. We don't do stuff really, but when we do, it'd be cool. We're not broken up, but it's like, we're not exactly linking up every week for practice, you know, but
yeah.
But, and I have a Zulu tat. It's like one of the women from the New Tomorrow art dancing. I don't know if you really see it. You can't really see it, but I got that. It's like an African woman dancing. One of my like really, really good homies passed. His name was Kale. He was in Misery, Downpressor. He was in Fuming Mouth. He was in God's Hate, I believe, or Twitching Tongues, one of the two. I think he was in both, I think. But yeah, he, I have the little Misery insignia tatted right here because like Kale was like my brother, basically. And then, a lot of those guys from that band are like my big homies, Misery. But yeah, that's it. I want to get more tests. I want to get a Judas Priest. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Any idea what thing you want to get from Judas Priest?
The little cross thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the little, you know, like the, I don't know what it's called, but like that cross logo that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Just that probably on my forearm or something. I might. Yeah, I might. Yeah.
It's a good call. Good call.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
I want to talk a little bit about the new record, and so like it has a lot of like interstitial tracks and samples in it. I was wondering if we could dig into some of that. The album ends with the song "Who Job Bless No One Curse" borrows a line from Small Axe from Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Yeah, the guys in Zulu, we all like to implement our childhood songs we heard from like growing up into stuff. It's like I was at my homie's party, my homie's family's party, and he's Mexican, and a song came on. Never heard it ever in my life. Everyone's saying it, like, yo, this is from our childhood. This is like an old song. I was like, oh, it's like so crazy. This is something that I've never heard in my entire life, but it means so much to someone. It's like their childhood, and like we like to just put, yeah, like the old reggae stuff and the old like this funk and soul into the songs. A lot of it is conceptualized by Dead and Anaya when it comes to samples, but yeah, it's like it's stuff that you all hear growing up in black households. Yeah, like a lot of reggae, a lot of ska, like early ska. But yeah, we all share a shared experience when it comes to, like, I'm not too much into Bob Marley, to be honest, but we all have a shared experience. Like, oh, I know the song, and like, this is a song that if it comes on, we're all like singing it. Oh, I remember, it brings back memories, you know, of like, you know, you're getting ready for school, your mom's making food, and she's bumping some song, and you know, but some people may be like, oh, I never heard that ever. And I just always like that experience of, oh, yeah, this is like something I grew up on, but you may not know it. I just like sharing, like talking to people and like swapping, like, what's the word? Picking their brain and figuring stuff out. But it's like, it's cool that we're able to put our childhood, like cultural songs into what we do. It's for the hell of it. Like, and that is what we've been doing. And we got some new music coming relatively soon. I don't know how soon, but where it's not as sample heavy, but there's some stuff where it's like, oh, I think I remember this, you know, but that's what we like to do, you know. I love doing it too. And yeah, like I said, Desna and Naya really conceptualize the samples for sure.
And how much of it is straight samples and how much of it is like reworked, like a not tribute, but like cover material where it's you guys playing, but
the new stuff or like that record?
That record. Or the new stuff. Are you guys trying it where you're putting in like where you guys are actually playing a song that you know from your childhood, or is it all straight samples?
Yeah, we the new stuff is gonna be a mix. I mean, no, yeah, there's no like date where it's gonna come out. It's like, but we all wrote some stuff that it sounded pretty good. But yeah, I feel like we got on a really good footing with the LP where we set the groundwork. Like I remember like the early days of Queen, early days of Led Zeppelin, they established early on, yeah, we could do anything we want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the folky stuff with Zeppelin, of course also like some of the hard rock stuff with Zeppelin, you know, the acoustic stuff, the bluesy stuff, that was all stolen, but still, you know. And then like you know, like Queen, where it's like all this baroque music and all, you know, like it was just like they established early on, like, yo, we can do all types of genres and it can still be us. So I'm very grateful that for the LP, we were like, yo, this is like what we're going to do. We're going to have rap songs and like instrumental funk and instrumental jazz stuff. And we're going to have reggae here and there. And we're just going to like kind of, I don't know, expand upon that and keep doing that. And sometimes maybe a little more like concise, in a more concise manner, you know. But yeah, I'm very glad that we're able to stray up at the beginning, right out the gate, like, yo, we're just gonna do whatever we want to do, you know. And that's what we're gonna keep doing, really. We definitely talked about the idea of like jamming, like writing original songs and pitching them a certain way so it sounds like a sample, and just like, oh, what song is this? Oh, no, it's us. You know, and just like, just have an album chock full of most material that we can do possibly, you know. But yeah, we're just getting started, really, to be honest. There's so much. We have so many songs written.
Yeah.
And I wrote a song yesterday on the train that they guys haven't even heard yet. You know, it's like we have this studio that we can straight up just like, when any time, just jam, like grind stuff, power violence, beat down, like death metal, hardcore, like fast core, like whatever, or just like funk, jazz, R&B. Like we're literally doing anything now. Breakbeat, like drum and bass, like whatever, you know, it's sick.
On the new record, the song Shine Eternally. That's you guys?
Yeah, that Shine Eternally, a lot of it was Satchel. But yeah, you know, Satchel, Dez, and I, like we all tapped in with that. But yeah, that's just an original, because so our bassist Satchel on his own is like an accomplished like solo artist. His stuff is Satchy online. And he has a band called Mood that's just like free form jazz, and it's like top tier musicianship, like straight up. Like And Anaya, he also has a jazz band, Black Atlantic, cool trio. And like, I'm the guy in the band, like Dez raps, and then these guys have like jazz bands. I just have a bunch of hardcore bands and metal bands, you know. But I very much do love fusion jazz and just funk and all that. I'm working on a fusion jazz record, but yeah, they bring a lot to the table. Like Satch and I bring a lot to the table. And Shine Eternally was definitely just like, I remember I was on tour, I believe, and I came back and they're like, yo, peep this. And I was like, wow, this is nuts. And then Spotify hit us up to do some singles. So we covered, it was like one original and one cover. So we covered Slipknot, and then we did a revamped version of Shine Eternally, which was like with me soloing. And the one we play now is like a hybrid of the one on the record and then the Spotify one. We're like, it's just, I don't even know. Real, like Isley Brothers influence, like soloing. But yeah, that's us. Shine Eternally is us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that we as a hardcore band can just play. We can have a funk song we play live, and people, no one's crowd killing. People are just like, you know, and at the end, the feedback hits and it goes right back to this like circle pits. And stuff. I love it. People hate it, but I love it. And that's all that really matters, that we like it. So, yeah.
I mean, I think the really cool thing about putting those moments in a record or in your set live is that it makes the heavy parts hit that much harder. Like if you pull back, you know, it's like if you get hit in the head 1,000 times, it stops hurting after a while.
Yeah, like I love Beatdown, but you know, it's like we want to be just a band, like a music band. Obviously, we're gonna be like we played a jazz festival in Canada once, you know, but it's so random. But we're obviously gonna be, you know, centered in hardcore, but you want to be like a music band, just a band that's like, yo, like not every song is gonna be shun, dun, reed, you know, like, and that's cool. I like that. I'm a monster, everyone knows, but it's like two or three songs of that, then like a fast song is 30 seconds, then some circle pit stuff, then a funk song, then okay, here's Dez rapping, and here's some samples, here's JT, or you know, here's Waka or whoever. Like we like to have fun, you know, and like that's the main thing. Is some of the like hardcore purists are gonna be like, oh, this stuff is not really hardcore. I'm like, or it's like not really power violence. I'm like, bruh, like who cares? You know, we're just having fun, you know, like it's definitely centered in power violence, but I wouldn't say we're a straight up power violence band, but it's definitely centered in like Sex Prisoner, you know, like Magnum Force. Like that's definitely, you know, like Nails and Weekend Nachos, like the grindy PBS, definitely what we love. And that's like, that's the groundwork. Those four bands are playing some of the, and like some Trash Talk stuff and like Mind Eraser. That's like the groundwork of this band. But it's all over the place for a reason. I'm having fun, you know, straight up. And just gonna keep doing it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with your record and what you guys do in general, like having that kind of like musicality, the musical diversity, I feel like is something that I really like about your band. But it's also, I feel like something, you know, I also think it's something that I'm noticing in more current hardcore bands that are the ones that are really catching my interest. Like more hardcore bands now are taking a more broad perspective on genre and stuff. And I really feel like it's making the genre more interesting personally.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, like I said, like I like, you know, garage band, beatdown bands that just do the same thing over and over again. I think that's cool. I think, you know, like crazy where it changes the time signature every, because I love prog rock and, you know, like Faith Warning and all, like, you know, all this like progressive like metal stuff. I just like all types of stuff. And I don't want to box ourselves into anything really. And you know, like I, you know, like I said about Queen and Zeppelin, like I feel like we early on showed like we're gonna do like whatever we want. Like straight up. And there's times where we're just sit back and there'll be no feedback, no distortion, no metal zones or HM2, chainsaw, none of that. It's just like we're just jamming this like funk stuff and like jazz stuff and or whatever. And I remember I wrote like a D&B song. It was like a drum and bass type of like, I really love Portishead and Sneaker Pimps. I love trip hop. And we were like experimenting with that too. It's like we just want to do whatever. And if you don't like it, it's not for you. That's all I always tell people. I'm just like, if you don't like it, there's Spotify has every band in existence. Just go find another band. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't gotta go to the shows or nothing. Just go somewhere if you don't rock with it, bro. You know, that's really how I see it. You know.
How's the rest of Zulu feel about ska?
That I don't know. Well, I know I had like Rastafari parents, so
okay.
But like, I'm a third wave guy, so I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Sure.
Like, it's crazy. It's like night and day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, white guys hacky sacking with dreads, you know, in college, you know what I'm saying? Like, smoking blunts, yep. You know, like skating and compared to like, you know, the early, like, I don't know. It's very different, but I got into it through Third Wave and went back and found all like all the old stuff. But yeah, Third Wave, like, I love like the SoCal. I would say SoCal, Third Wave, ska, like that for me is where it's at for sure.
If you had to pick one of those Third Wave songs, if you're gonna put something on a playlist, what would you put on?
You were Buckle Nine?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, Buckle Nine, San Diego, More Than Your Eyes Can See. And that the record was like, it was like a dartboard or something with them around it. I think I have it. I have the 7-inch, but
mm-hmm.
Buckle Nine. I love Buckle Nine so much. I saw him so many times. But yeah, I would do More Than Your Eyes Can See. I think it's a beautiful song. It's fun. I played it for the homegirl. She said, I got the ick right now. And I was like, oh, damn, my bad.
Damn.
My bad, bro. But yeah, you know, ska like is very divisive, as we all know. But yeah.
Yeah.
I would pick that or Shoot the Moon by Voodoo Glow Skulls, and that's Riverside. That's like 951. Like, that's like my area. Like, that's my area code is 951. So Voodoo Glow Skulls being the 951 like ska band, like, that's, it's like the most SoCal thing ever. Like, but like, we would do have Scalloween, what it was called. Yeah. And Scalloween would be Voodoo Glow Skulls, Buckle Nine, yeah, like I said, Skamikaze. That was it mostly, but it was mostly like centered around Voodoo Glow Skulls. I've seen that band maybe like 7 or 8 times. Scalloween maybe three times, and then just whatever they would be playing, like in Pomona or somewhere at Riverside or wherever. But I love. But I would for sure pick More Than Your Eyes Can See. Is like, that's like my favorite. Like my playlist ska song. Yeah.
Nice.
And I know you're a mosher. Do you get out there for Voodoo Glow Skulls?
Yeah, back in the day, I'd be skanking my ass off. Like, I would be going crazy. Like, I remember, I always loved, there was a band called the Maxis from,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would always see the Maxis. There was this band called Ready, Steady, Go from Temecula area. And they like skate punk. I saw them open for JFA, and I was hooked on them. I was like, this band's cool. And then I saw them with Channel 3 and Agent Orange. Oh, this is sick. Then I saw them, and I saw them with, I think, Voodoo Glow Skulls. And, like, it meshed so well, like, skate punk and ska, or, like, ska core or whatever. Like, it meshed so well. And, you know, I just always love doing, like, I just like circle painting. I think it's so lit. But I was definitely a skanker, for sure.
Two-stepping and skanking, how different are they?
So, my homie, who's just very, like, he's like a down-tempo, beat-down guy. And I was trying to show him, like, old-school hardcore. He was like, oh, this is, like, punk. I was like, well, like, that's what it is. You know, he has a skewed view of hardcore because he's, like, younger. So, I was trying to tell him, like, yo, this and that. Da, da, da. So, I show him ska. And he's like, yo, like, they're two-stepping in place. Skanking is two-stepping in place. Whatever, I forgot what he said. But it was like, basically, like, yeah, like, two-stepping in a circle is skanking, basically. He was like, oh, okay, that's sick. I was like, yeah, like that's just what you do, you know. That's like I two-step from hardcore because I was always skanking. Now it's like a different thing, but I would say it's like a Pokemon evolution, you know. Yeah. Like it's the same but different, you know.
Thank you for listening to In Defense of Ska. To support the show, sign up for our Patreon. Intro and outro music by Slow Gherkin from the EP Lives. Additional music by Dan P. and the Bricks. Please rate and review the podcast and tell a friend. Follow at In Defense of Ska on social media. The book In Defense of Ska by Aaron Carnes is available from Clash Books. Order it online. Chris Reeves of SPI is our editor. This is your co-host, Adam Davis of Omnigon, leaving you by saying ska now more than ever.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
I like hardcore now.
Oh, you like hardcore now? That was all it took?
I love hardcore. I'm all about hardcore as of right this moment.
I love it. You're going to get a Zulu tattoo right now?
I already got one.
Oh, okay. And it'll go nicely next to your scowl tattoo.
Yeah, while you and Braxton were talking, I went and got a Zulu tattoo. It looks sick.
Hell yeah. I'll see you stage diving later. And folks, you know what?
Yeah.
There's more. Mm-hmm. There's more of this conversation over behind the curtain. Over on our Patreon, $5. Maybe you'll even get Aaron to post an image of his cool new hardcore tattoos. Over on the Patreon. So, go sign up for that. We'll see you over there. Ska now more than ever.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.